All right, tonight, the blessing of righteousness. You remember the definition of righteousness? To stand in the presence of God without any guilt, without any sense of fear, without any sense of shortcoming or unworthiness. You know, those are really true things that it's something that God imparts. It's something that God just gave to the believer when they were born again. And if you remember that verse in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, which we know and come to know is that word wholeness. Man at that point would again receive spirit, so he would become whole, just like the original man, body, soul, and spirit. But then verse 10 goes on, and what does that say, Vicki?
With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Yeah, pretty neat. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. But you know what? Still many people, many Christians, for ignorance or lack of teaching, they still think that they are unworthy to receive the goodness of God. And that belief is not from God. It is a satanic belief that just drives itself deeper and deeper and deeper, if it is allowed to, into a person's subconscious mind. Because if my being worthy of God depended upon my own strength, you know what, guys? We would be great failures. I would be a great failure. Hey, look, I know that I am weak in myself, and I know that I am unworthy in myself, but guess what? Christ has made me worthy. So no matter how I feel or what my feeble mind may tell me, I am strong, and in him I am worthy. I'm quoting and reading a little bit here this evening from what we came to know as the Blue Book, The Bible Tells Me So, Volume 1, Chapter entitled, You Are Righteous Now. These words are just so beautifully stated. Ever since man was created, he has tried to work out his own righteousness and tried to do the kind of work which would make himself look good in the sight of God. The basic cry of the heart of man is to be righteous before God. So many Christians do all kinds of work to obtain righteousness, such as confessing their sins, teaching Sunday school classes, keeping the Ten Commandments. Yet, these good works do not make a person righteous. Righteousness, listen to this, righteousness is obtained from God through the faith of Jesus Christ. Man has tried and tried and tried and tried down through history to prove how good he is to God. And you know what man has proven? He is a complete failure, because there is none good. Remember? No, not one. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that is not necessarily behavior. It is a nature that we inherited from, yes, our brother Adam, who disobeyed back in the day, and then through the bloodline of mankind, ever since that point in time, the sin nature has passed. That, folks, is the reason that Jesus Christ came to this earth, was to reconcile that sin that Adam created. Actually, in Romans, he's referred to as the second Adam. But he didn't bring guilt and condemnation. He brought freedom and righteousness. And you can read all about that in the book of Romans, especially chapter 5. But the verse I want to look at right now is in Philippians chapter 3. Just remember that righteousness is obtained from God through the faith of Jesus Christ. it gets confusing, like, oh, it has to be about good works. It has to be about singing in the choir. It has to be about, you know, witnessing. It has to be about, you know, a number of other things. And all those things in and of themselves are wonderful things, but those do not help a person get more, what's the word, status and prestige in the eyes of God, because God's not a respecter of persons. So anyway, Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. It says, and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith or believing. So here's Paul saying, being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness, that ability to stand in the very presence of God without any sin, consciousness of sin, any guilt, consciousness of guilt, consciousness of a shortcoming. It is the condition of what we would call guiltless perfection in the presence of God through the faith of Jesus. Thank you, God, that you do not look at us for who we are. You look at us through the, I would call it, Christ-colored glasses. You see us through the work of your Son who you sent, and he had the wherewithal to pay that perfect price. You know, our tears, our toil, our prayers, our good works will avail nothing. Righteousness is not given and brought to man by the cross we bear. It's the cross that Jesus Christ bore for each and every person. The righteousness of God is given to every believer, not of works, but by God's grace, which is divine favor. Look in your Bibles in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. You know, I don't think that we want to take anything that comes from God as a for granted. We want to recognize it and realize it, and that's why I entitled this tonight, The Blessing of Righteousness. I want to tell you a little story here. You know, in 1799, there was a 12-year-old young man. His name was Conrad Reed. He found a large glittering rock in the stream that ran through his family's small farm in North Carolina. He carried it home to show his father, a poor immigrant farmer. His father didn't understand the rock's potential value, so he used it as a doorstop. And the family walked by it for year after year after year. Eventually, this rock, Conrad's rock, actually, which was a 17-pound gold nugget, caught the eye of a local jeweler. Soon the Reed family became very, very wealthy, and their property became the site of the first major gold strike in the United States of America. Here's the point. Sometimes we walk past a blessing intent on our own plans and ways, or we don't recognize the blessing sitting right there in front of us, or in this case, right there within us. Right there within us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Did I mention that? Mm-hmm. For he, God, made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God, where? In him. God made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. Jesus knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus, he took that sin upon himself, we might be made that righteousness. Everything Adam lost in the fall, Jesus Christ regained for the believer. So you know what? There is no longer a question of the sin problem. It is now, that was settled in Jesus Christ. What we have now to deal with is a sinner's problem. But when a person accepts Jesus as his Lord, He's got to renew our mind. He's got to change his mind, his thinking, to believe the word that he is righteous. And as soon as the Son of God, as a Son of God, he will no longer worry or fear or feel unworthy. He simply will have confidence that he's worthy through Christ. You know, many in our world have erroneously taught that a person can be righteous one minute and unrighteous the next. If that person does not become righteous again before his death, he will miss heaven and end up in hell. There is no scripture that validates that type of thinking. When God made us righteous in Christ Jesus over 1900 years ago, we had nothing to do with it. When the Spirit of God in Christ is born within us, we are at that moment and forevermore righteous. We receive the nature of God, which makes us righteous right then and there. See, understanding the doctrine of righteousness and the blessing of righteousness, even though we may have put it down at the door and used it as a doorstop, we had the big gold nugget right there in front of us. But once we recognize it, once we are brought back into a place where we see what we've been given, it's important to have the revelation of what this means to our individual lives, our personal lives. There are countless scriptures in the Bible that describe God's heart towards the righteous, righteousness, and the just. And the promises to the righteous touch every area of life. It's not only a legal standing, but it's the very power and favor of God upon our lives. Righteousness brings forward the abundant life. So we'll take a couple of look at a couple of verses here. How about Psalm 5, right there in the middle of your Bible, verse 12, Psalm 5:12. For you, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will you surround him as with a shield. Well, that's quite a promise. Mm-hmm. So can you and your imagination see yourself surrounded with the shield of God's favor? Can we and do we expect his blessing in every area of our lives? You know, this is a promise of truth of the word. Yes, it's in the Old Testament. But you know what? There are some promises and some truths that transcend all administrations. Because God will bless the righteous. He will surround you and his favor will be around you like a shield. It's like you can't get away from his favor. It's so cool. Your righteousness came from God, not something that you brought on yourself. But it does qualify us and all of us for the promises made. You might look again in Romans chapter 5, especially in verse 17. I turned to it here earlier. We can't earn that right standing with God. It's, according to the Bible, it's a gift. Verse 17 of Romans chapter 5 says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." You know how many people are defeated by sin consciousness, by guilt, by condemnation, by the things of their past weighing them down? The devil has taken great advantage of God's people by pressing them down. You know what the answer to these things is? Jesus Christ and the righteousness of God that he brought as a result of his finished work. This is such an amazing but yet simple truth. And we could go on and on and on, kind of like Warren Seam said last night. The challenge of these calls is to put an hour teaching into 10 or 15 minutes. But the truth is, it's just so rich. It really is. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. Isaiah 54, 17. Great topic. And one of the things that really holds God's people imprisoned, because we have to break through, we have to break free of the guilt and the condemnation that the enemy just tries to keep us encased with. And the only answer is Jesus Christ, the gift of righteousness that has been given, and walking by the Spirit of God. To do it and try it in our own strength with our own human acumen and our mental prowess and all these other things, you are doomed to failure. Doomed to failure. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Remember, there's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. What is the flesh? What you can see, hear, smell, taste, and touch? Your own human ability. Well, hey, you know what? If that's all you're going to use, then you might, the result is going to be guilt and condemnation and feelings of unworthiness and inadequacy and failure and you name it. You walk by the Spirit, there is no condemnation. There's no condemnation from God, and there's no condemnation of yourself, even about your own actions, because you realize who you are, what you've been given in the work of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 54. I love this verse. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. Kind of a cool thing, huh? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. Righteousness is from the Lord. You know what? Righteousness can work its healing power in our physical bodies. You know, Jesus healed all of those who came to him. You know what? He was a righteous man. He was a righteous man. And according to 2 Corinthians 5:21, which we read earlier, we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And you know what? Righteousness is freedom from oppression on every level of life. Well, you talk about the blessing of righteousness. Man, Proverbs 12:28, I'll just read it. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Isaiah 58:8, I'll read that. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. You know what? When we're in right standing with God, that becomes and is the starting point in our life. Because you know what? We've been delivered from fear. We've been delivered from guilt. We've been delivered from judgment. We've been delivered from the sin nature. This is what Christ gave his life for at Calvary. And in the resurrection, we benefit so richly from all that he has done. So you know what? We can walk in the blessing of righteousness because we have a strong foundation for the victory that is already ours. Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy and privilege of speaking this word that is so powerful, so rich, so life-giving, so energizing, and that we may just thrill to know that it's not on us to prove how worthy we are, how good we are, but Jesus did it all. And when you see us, you see him, and you see his work. If we were to be judged by our own actions, behavior, and thoughts, I'm not sure there'd be any hope for any of us. But that's not the way you look at us, and I'm so thankful that your love is unconditional, and just you have that perspective, Father, and help us to grow in our understanding and application of the scriptures, and that we can have that righteous standing before you, Father, and never, never forget the blessing of righteousness. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.